Blog Talk Radio.
This is Master Griot Radio, channel 13 on your NBBTA.
I can't do this. This is too much. What am I supposed to do? There's so much to do. I need help. I'm not doing something right. I need answers. Who's going to be there? I've messed up so much. I feel like I've tried everything, but now, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Just breathe. I want to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. Say, I want to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. Say, I can't live a whole life with half a self, with half of me in tow, saving the potential of me for some rainy day as if there isn't more to be living for. How can God work with half a woman towards her full potential? How can he pour blessings into my cup that overfloweth if my insecurities and sins have created holes that can't store it? I wrestle with principalities against my own flesh and blood, looking towards the mark of the higher calling, but that takes a whole lot of faith. And to follow where he leads takes a whole lot of dedication. And to stand in the face of my fears, or to proclaim the life of Christ, or even to love my neighbor, takes a whole lot of preparation. So half of me won't do. Giving only half my day, or half my thoughts, or half of everything I got is not only useless but unwise when God sees me wholly with his own eyes. When God in his grace sees me wholly with his own eyes. So I want to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. Say, I want to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. Say, I gotta get it right. My purpose is on the line. And how can I have only half the mind to do what's right, or spend less than half of the time attempting to develop myself into disciplined study or focused way of life, when it takes to committing the whole mind, the whole body as a living sacrifice? See, we want full blessings from the Lord, but we only pray half the time. And sometimes we remember to love our neighbor, but we seek God's love all the time. We go into situations and relationships with half of ourselves in tow, still hoping good things will come from them despite. And we forget that to love God with our whole heart takes a constant renewing of the mind, a constant reviewing of our lives. For many of the things we need to grow takes a committed and dedicated whole, not got from simple Bible reading or occasional fasting and praying, but our whole effort with our whole heart gives God the room to bring out the wholeness in us that he created within us long ago. So I chanted like I wanted, like it's part of my whole being, like it's significant, like it's attainable, as if my spirit desired it. I needed to present myself fully as committed to his word. I want to be a whole woman because half a woman can't quite gain wisdom in this world. So each day I pray the prayer of complete reliance on God and all his magnificence, for only he is able to bring out in me the wholeness that he created. I'm not whole on my own, but I belong to you. I'm not of myself, but of you and your divine purpose. I am not alone, but with you. I seek your guidance in my daily business. I'm not whole on my own, but pieced together by your hand, held together by your will. I am not led by neither wants, desires, or personal debates, but ever yielding to that which you lay before me. So today, as every day, I listen to your voice, walk in step with you, seek your wisdom, and lay no claim to my own life so that I may be aligned with your way. For I seek to be a whole woman, a whole woman, a whole woman. God, I want to live what you made me, a whole woman. A whole woman. A whole woman.
Good evening and welcome to our Sunday evening show. This is Valerie Guignard, the founder of The Phoenix Woman, and this segment of the radio is called Awake, Arise, Arise. And we're going to discuss some pertinent issues or some concerns about women and areas in their lives they'd like to improve. And one of the things I'd like to begin is having us explore fear. What is fear? And how can we address fear or manage fear so we can at least complete and do the things in our lives that have become important to us? I'd like to begin by reading a poem about fear, and here we go. It's called The Anatomy of Fear. Oh, this dreadful thing called fear, what am I to do? I feel it in my head and in my heart and in my stomach too. Oh, this dreadful thing called fear, what am I to do? Afraid to live, afraid to die, afraid to cruise, afraid to fly. What is this dreadful thing called fear that keeps me stuck year after year? How can I shake it? What can I do? To face my fear is good for me. To face your fear is good for you too. It's okay to feel my fear and do it anyway. This can help me make my way. To follow my dreams and stop living in doubt. to follow my dreams and bring success about. Afraid to live, afraid to die. No, I want to live, I want to fly. Now that's a poem on the anatomy of fear, and we know that fear can paralyze us and keep us from living our dream and living to our potential. If we have any callers that would like to address the subject of fear and how it has impacted your lives, please feel free to call in, and we will respond to that. I think we have a caller already. Good afternoon. Hello? We'll connect to another caller. Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for calling in to the
You're welcome.
Wake, Arise, and Arrive radio show for the Phoenix Women.
Well, it's certainly my pleasure to call, and I love the title of the show, Awake, Arise, and Arise. And I love the poem, Anatomy of Fear, because I know that fear has certainly impacted my life. And there's a pretty popular definition of fear, and that is fear stands for false evidence appearing real. And it uses the acronym of F-E-A-R. And it really is true. Fear is so paralyzing, and it's unreal. It really is unreal. I think of the times when I have hesitated to do something because I was afraid, and then when I actually did it, I was amazed at how things went okay. But it's really interesting because it always seems to return. Mm. And so I'm really interested in finding out what your thoughts are about having success and the fear seems to return. And do you think that this is just the state of being human, that fear just will automatically return because we're human? Because I find that no matter how many things I do, that it still will come back and I have to address the fear all over again.
Well, it's amazing that you said you overcame some of the areas of your life that you were fearful. And one of the things that is important in learning how to overcome fear is to create success stories for yourself. Create a way that you can celebrate that you've overcome a fear. Now, we have so many fears in our lives. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of success. We're afraid of rejection. And for some reason, we continue to create that cycle. Create the cycle. So if we can find a way to, or we need to find a way to pick small activities in our lives and learn how to face the fear and ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen if I do fail? We don't focus on the failure, we focus on success. However, you ask yourself the question in the back of your head, if this doesn't work, what's the worst that can happen?
That's really good. I really like that. I really appreciate that, too, because I never really thought of it in terms of taking a small part of it and addressing that. I always look at the whole big picture, and sometimes the picture looks too big. But that is really a real powerful way of looking at it, to break it down and look at the subject or look at the project as in its smaller parts and just addressing it in that way. So that's a real helpful way of dealing with it.
And another important thing, too, is there's a powerful technique called self-talk, the power of self-talk. And if you accomplish just a small portion of what you set out to do, you have to say to yourself, wow, I did that. Wow, I was successful. And we don't create enough success stories for ourselves because we've been led to believe that if we say we were successful or if we did a good job, that we're being selfish or self-centered. And think about the word selfish. It simply means fishing for yourself. So
yes, how about that?
Yes,
I never
right.
thought of it that way. Yes.
Right. So if you're fishing for yourself and you continue to find ways that you can support yourself by creating wow moments. Wow, I did that. And another thing that I've discovered is it's important to hear what people are telling you, to hear people saying, wow, that was great. You did a good job. Wow, I wish I could do that. Wow, that's absolutely spectacular. And to turn those words back to yourself and say, well, yes, wow, I accomplished that. Wow, I overcame that. So we have to change the way we hear compliments and information.
Yes, I certainly agree with you, because I had an experience yesterday where three people had said to me, you know, I really got a lot out of what you said, and it's really helped me to think differently about things. And at the end of the day, I said, wow, three people in one day said they appreciated something that I had offered them or shared with them. And I really had to stop and ask myself if I'm really feeling it and if I'm really taking it in. And that certainly has been my challenge, being able to feel it and to really take it in. So these are really perfect things that you're saying. It's really good. Very, very helpful. Thank you.
Let's go back for a minute. You said that you gave people, where people complimented you and told you did a good job with whatever you told them. And going into it or at the onset, did you have any doubts or fears about giving these people advice or telling them what you told them?
No, I didn't. I didn't have any doubt or fear in giving them advice or suggestions. Not at all.
How about your surprise?
Yes, I know. And I was surprised because probably it was because the length of time that had transpired. These are things that I had shared with people 6 months ago or a year ago, and they came back and said how it really impacted their lives. And I was really surprised that something like that had a long-term effect on them.
Okay, the information that you shared with them, did it have anything to do with helping them to face or eliminate any of their fears?
Yes, it did have something to do with facing or eliminating their fear. One person I know would do so many things simply because she felt obligated to do it, and she would just wear herself out until she was utterly and completely exhausted. And I told her that she's really paying the price for that. Her body and her mind are paying the price for that, and that she really needs to think about herself first and to take care of herself and mm-hmm. to think about the way that she's doing things, why she's doing it. And this was about 6 months ago, and she was telling me today, you know, I was invited to three different places today, and I'm only going to go to one, and that feels really good. I learned that from you. And I really have stopped wearing myself down because I felt I had to go to all the places that I was expected to go to.
Well, it sounds like afraid to make a choice or afraid to say no to some of her requests.
Right. She was afraid to say no to some of her requests, yes.
Okay. In the poems, you remember I said, I feel it in my head and in my heart and in my stomach too. And that's how fear can manifest itself on a physical level. So we're affected physically by holding on to and nurturing fear.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, so we can definitely feel it. I know I can identify places in my body that I can feel it too.
Well, that's great. Thank you for sharing that information and knowing that you can adjust the fear and erase it by facing it. And then we can move on.
Yes.
Thank you for your call. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Give us a call back at another time.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for a wonderful show.
Absolutely, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, next caller, please. Thank you. Hello? Do we have a caller on the air? Okay, we'll look for, hello? May we have another caller, please? Hello? Do we have a caller on the air? Well, we had a great call before, and now we're looking for our next caller. Hello? Looks like we have having some technical difficulty. If we have any callers out there that would like to join us, please call in so we can discuss our topic, the anatomy of fear, and how to overcome it. Hello? Okay. Well, we are looking at planning some workshops for women, and one of the workshops could be the anatomy of fear and how to overcome fear as it impacts our lives. If we have any callers out there who would like to call in to Blog Talk Radio and give us some recommendations or suggestions of areas that we can discuss or provide workshops for women to help them develop themselves both personally and professionally. Okay, I think we have another call coming in. Hello?
Hello.
Caller, are you there?
Hello, are you there?
Hello?
Hello.
We're having technical difficulties on this Sunday afternoon. Feel free to give us a call so we can chat and have some topics to discuss with you on the Sunday afternoon. I think we have some callers listed on the, or showing up on our control panel, and they're not connecting. Okay, we're looking at, we're waiting for our other callers to come in, so until they get there, let's just chat about some other areas. Last week we talked about a retreat that we sponsored in March for Women's History Month, and it was called, the name of the show, Awake, Arise, Arise, Women's Retreat. And the retreat was sponsored by the Phoenix Woman Incorporated, which I am the founder. My name is Valerie Guignard, and I'd like to tell you a little more about the Phoenix and why we are called the Phoenix Women. Or the Phoenix Woman, actually. And the company was founded based upon the legend of the phoenix, the bird phoenix. And the phoenix was not just a regular bird, an ordinary bird. It was a large and majestic bird having multicolored plumage. And the legend about the phoenix tells that this bird died after about 1,000 years, and it was consumed by fire while in the nest. And the bird actually built the nest for itself. Within an instant, the bird that is the new phoenix rose from the ashes. And it's also told that the bird, the phoenix, rose from the ashes, and this time more beautiful than before, because it burned off all those experiences from that past earth life and came forth this time more prepared to deal with the next earth life or the next time here. And just imagine, after living 1,000 years, the bird grew weary, and we can all imagine that or know what that feels like, because there are times that I feel like I've lived 1,000 years because I'm tired and weary. So if you understand that, you know why the bird burned himself and came back. Or, and I'd rather say burned herself and came back. Okay, the story of the phoenix represents us as women who, in many stages of our lives, experience the burning flames of the difficult things that happen to us, such as divorce, sometimes the death of a loved one, illness, conflicts within our family, financial lack or loss. Sometimes we're not sure about what to do with our career or what direction we should take in our lives. And we find that many times the fires of despair and depression consume us. The fires of worry and confusion also consume us. So in my own experience, my daughter, Shannon, suffered for many years with liver disease and died just after her 18th birthday. And because of this experience for me, I found myself in the ashes and knew that I had to find a way to shake the ashes off and move on. In recognizing that, I thought there must be other people out there who are experiencing similar challenges, similar situations in their lives, be it death, divorce, sadness, despair, and that we should find an organization that will help teach women how to rise from the ashes. And our byline or our slogan is risen from the ashes. And there's a popular expression, you know, the phoenix rises from the ashes. We say risen from the ashes because we know that at some juncture in our lives, we have to have risen from something to move on. And I'll just give you a little analogy. When you're in the first grade, you get promoted. You're not promoting. So you get promoted. So when you rise from a consequence in your life, you want to say, I did that. I created a success story for myself. I have risen from this situation. So that's why we chose risen from the ashes rather than rising from the ashes. And that's the story of the phoenix and why we chose the name for the organization. The Phoenix Woman has a series of retreats and workshops and classes that we do to promote wholeness and help to develop women both professionally and personally. So we're looking for some of our listening audience to call in and give us some information or some feedback on areas that they would like to improve in their lives, and we can offer some workshops and seminars to help them get to that next place. So we're going to see if we have a caller, and we'll say hello to our caller. Hello? Hello?
How can you tell?
Pardon me? Hello? We have a caller. I thought I heard a caller. Is there anyone else on the line? Can you hang up and call back, caller? Because we see you on our control panel. We can't hear you. So I'll go to the next caller.
Hello? Happened in my life that caused me to walk in fear. It is something that you strive to overcome, but you know, some people always talk about face your fears. If you do that enough, it'll help you overcome it. In a lot of respects, it's like you overcome one fear, but sometimes it seems like another one replaces it. So it was a constant battle, you know, that you have to overcome.
Hello? We're having technical difficulties, so we're looking for our next caller. Caller, are you there? Hello? Do we have a caller? We're having a Murphy's Law evening. All things that can go wrong are going wrong. We're waiting for another caller. We're trying again. Let's see what happens. Do we have a caller? Hello? Bear with us. We're looking for a caller. Hello? Okay. I was teaching a class last week, and I discovered that in my supervisory training program, that one of the things that many of the people who were in training, they each had a fear, excuse me, of doing their jobs. It was a new supervisory program, and they were each afraid of disciplining, and not only disciplining as you discipline your children, however, holding adults that they supervise accountable for their work and work ethic. And most of them said that I feel afraid to contact or communicate with adults about their behavior. So I realized from that fear is such a paralyzer for us that it holds us back from doing so many things. And I'm just going to take you back to some of the words in the poem that I read as I opened the session. It said that many of us are afraid to live and afraid to die. And I say afraid to live meaning afraid to live your maximum potential, and afraid to live means to do those things that you consider to be something that you want to do. You're afraid of failure, so therefore we avoid it. When I said afraid to die, many people don't want to fly because of their fear of dying. So So we have to stop and think about how do we live our lives to the fullest. If we're not doing those things that we should do, are we really living? So think about the things that you need to do and how you can face your fears so you can experience those areas of your life that you were intended to live. How do I live my potential? How do I live a full life? How do I live up to a place that I can do all the things that I want to do without fear? I spoke with a caller before, and I told her that one of the keys about getting past fear is creating a success story for yourself. How do you create wow moments? How do you create a wow moment for you? And practice looking in the mirror and saying to yourself, when you have a successful time or you created a success story, say, wow, I did that. That can help you get through that area of fear. Now, let me just tell you some of the things that I've done to overcome fear. I have learned how to face my fears, and that sounds like a cliche, face your fears. However, that's the only thing I know to do. So I'm going to take you back a few years to tell you a story, tell you my story. When I first learned to drive, I lived in West Philadelphia, and if any of you listeners know West Philadelphia and 60th Street, you know 60th Street has a steep hill. And as a new driver, I felt like it was a mountain that I could not climb. So in the beginning, I avoided 60th Street because I didn't like the feeling that I got in my head and in my heart and in my stomach. So I avoided 60th Street at all costs. And then I got an idea, and I said, if I'm ever to overcome this, then I need to overcome it. And if I avoid 60th Street for the rest of my life, I will always find another 60th Street that I will be afraid of. So I thought, how can I get past this? How can I overcome this fear? Why am I afraid of this? Each time I left the house, I made a conscious decision to go out of my, it didn't matter where I was going, I would go out of my way to travel up 60th Street, to feel, to get used to that feeling of what it was like to go up 60th Street. And then when I would come home, no matter where I was coming from and which direction I was coming from, I would make a point to come down that hill on 60th Street. So after I did it two or three times, I said to myself, wow, that wasn't so bad after all. And I took that lesson of getting through or teaching myself the wow in overcoming a fear. I started looking at the other areas in my life that fear surfaced. And I said, now, what's the worst that can happen? Well, the best that can happen is I can get over the fear, and the worst that can happen is I'll stay afraid. So I opt for the best. And I made a decision on every area of my life that posed a fear or fear showed up. I said, let me face this fear. Just like I faced the fear on 60th and Market, I got past it, got over it, and I was successful. And I could look in the mirror and say, wow. And now, many years later, now that I go near 60th and Market, I can't even imagine why I was afraid. So I hope that helps you in some way to know what it means to overcome your fears. And I think we have another caller on the line.
Yes, there's another caller here.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, yes. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Good afternoon. Fine. I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me on. I just wanted to call and just, you know, I'm your son, as you know.
Okay.
And just wanted to call in as a little surprise and say hello.
Surprise, absolutely. Well, we're talking about the anatomy of fear. So since I know you and you're my son, then you have to tell us how you were taught to overcome your fears.
Well, by facing them and just, you know, working through them, you know, really at the end of the day, the cliche is there's nothing to fear but fear itself, but that really does get in the way for a lot of people. So it's just about, you know, recognizing what that is and working through it,
well,
you know.
I'm glad you called because sometimes when you give advice, people oftentimes say to themselves, yeah, that's good advice. However, does she really teach that and can she really live that? So
right.
Someone call who has experienced me firsthand is a plus. So I thank
right.
you for that call.
Absolutely. And the other thing, too, is like, you know, a lot of people, you tell them something and they think, oh, it works for you, but not for me. That worked for you, but oh, that's not going to work for me. And good advice is good advice, and you know I can attest to that because you've given me good advice my entire life. So, and it always works, even when I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's another story too. Getting people to hear you even when they don't want to hear you. I told the listener earlier that we can train ourselves to be better listeners when people give us advice on how well we do something or how successful we are at something. If we start to listen with a different ear, listen with a welcoming ear, we can then get past those areas that stop us. So start listening to people when they give you good advice or when they give you words of encouragement. Why would they tell you anything other than what's good?
Exactly.
Or the truth.
Right. Absolutely.
So can you give us an experience or a time when you've had something that you were afraid of and you learned to face it and just do it?
Well, I could start with, like, you know, just coming out of high school and going straight into the military, and that was something, and I don't know if we've really ever talked in depth about that, but it was something that I was nervous about and fearful of, and you being able to see the next step and see past that, we're able to say, I think this is a good decision for you, you know, I think it's something that would be beneficial for your life, and, you know, I was worried, and I was a little scared, you know, but I went in and I did it, and that was one of the best decisions, you know, of my life was to go straight into the Army right out of high school and, you know, take that path. And that I had so many wonderful experiences. I just learned so many lessons. And, you know, you were there the whole time, too, to help me along. So it wasn't like you just said, oh, just go out there and just do it. If anything I needed, if I had any problems, I was able to call you, I was able to contact you, I was able to, you know, you were able to work me through it. So it was just that stepping out and doing it that's something that I picked up in my entire life, because then when I moved to New York, again, it was just, I was able to just step out on the next step and do it. And now that I'm out here in LA, stepping out and just doing it and making that decision and realizing that, you know, the training and the lessons and your life, what will carry you along for the next step.
And the lessons are good. The lessons of learning how to face your fear, even in the midst of not wanting to do it. And I tried to be the constant person to say the same thing constantly, that we must face our fears. So thank you for calling. We have another call waiting after your call.
Thank you.
And
thank you. I'm so proud of you, and congratulations on the show.
Okay, thank you very much, Rodney.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Okay, we have another caller waiting in the wing.
What I can.
You ready to make a comment?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I don't really know how to chime in at this point. I'm
Hello,
just listening.
Ma?
I don't.
Hello.
Is she there? Can you
hear? No.
Hello.
No, they know that calls are. I can tell that they got calls in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
And they can see that.
Hello. We're waiting for another caller. You're on Blog Talk Radio. Caller, are you there? Hello? Do we have a caller? Okay. We're going to try again. We have callers in our queue. We're waiting for someone to come online. And we'd like to talk about or have you bring some information on things that you think that we can do.
My grandfather, I had a fear of dead people, and he was like, just touch him, and your fear will be gone. And here I am, a little child, and he put my hand on a dead person, and it was like, see, and that did not work for me. I still have a fear of dead people, and it's like sometimes people tell you to face your fears, and sometimes it has adverse effects on you.
Hello.
It doesn't always work out the way that people think that it should, and every method that one person tries doesn't always work for the next person. Because you can still face, you know what I mean? Because I, for years I had to preach, and I had a fear of getting up there preaching, but I would always do an excellent job, but just the getting up there, that fear in everybody, just keep doing it. Still, when I have to preach, I'm still a little nervous. It's just, I don't know. Every methodology doesn't work for everybody. And sometimes it takes different people to go through and try different things to overcome their fears. And for some people, just telling them to face their fears is not enough. You have to educate people in some, like I said, in some areas, and you have to get to the root cause of that fear. You know, you don't know what caused that person to be fearful, so you can't just say overcome your fears.
Can you hear me? Well, the person who's just talking about not necessarily overcoming your fears, I don't think, or at least I know I'm not trying to make it that simplistic, that you just face your fears. Absolutely, you should find why you're afraid and explore some of the underlying reasons for the fear and begin to address those underlying reasons. And you said that when you preach, each time you preach, you feel nervous. And in public speaking, that's normally what happens. People do feel nervous, and once you get going or get to your destination to begin your preaching, you feel better. However, you're absolutely correct. We're not trying to be cavalier about this at all and suggest that it's a simple process to face your fears. No, in 45 minutes, it's hard to get to each person and what's happening with them to get them to release their anxiety and release their fears and face it anyway. And we need to find a way or go through some classes or do some workshops or do some training or do some internal exploration to find out where the fear came or how the fear came about and then find a way to get rid of it. So the person who talked about being afraid and being realistic and understanding that each person is different, and that's with everything we do in life, each person is indeed different. Okay, so we have just a few minutes left on our radio show, and I thank all the callers who called, and anything that you need to call and readdress or ask us about again, please feel free to turn in or tune in on next Sunday's show so we can talk about Awake, Arise, Arise, and what we can do to provide women with more empowerment. Thank you very much for your call, and we are now ending our show, and we're off the air. Thank you.
I can't do this. This is too much. What am I supposed to do?